but the reading is from Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 25. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them."
When my brothers and I were growing up in the leafy suburbs of North Cheam, my mum and dad were the king and queen of Easter egg hunts. Every Easter Sunday, we would hurtle around the house and around the garden, hunting for these expertly hidden little Easter eggs. Mine had a red sticker on them, my brother had a green sticker, my other brother had a blue sticker, so we all knew which Easter eggs were ours. And we'd find them in the sock drawer, in the washing machine, on the highest shelf of the bookcase, just tucked out of sight. It's fantastic fun. And my little self might appeal to my mum for a hint, say, "Oh, I can't find any eggs." And she might say something like, "Oh, have you checked the flower bed?" And so I'd sprint outside to the garden, I'd unearth her tulips and her marigolds and whatever, and eventually I'd find the Easter egg I was searching for, hidden, meant to be found, hidden out of sight, but waiting to be found. What I want to put to you this morning is that for those who are searching, for those who really want to know, for those who are looking, to those who are listening carefully to what Jesus says, Jesus wants to share the secret of his kingdom with you. And the more you want to see of Jesus, the more you'll be shown. Like Easter eggs that have been hidden around the garden, the truth, the good news about Jesus is just waiting to be found by those who want to find it. It's like a lamp on a table. The good news that Jesus brings is meant for everyone to see, everyone who wants to, everyone whose ears are open. It's not meant to be hidden. But the less you want to see of Jesus, the less you want to know, you will get exactly what you're after. Jesus will remain an annoying mystery to you. So consider carefully the words of Jesus today, because how you respond to Jesus really matters. Now, last Sunday we heard how Jesus had started talking to people in parables. Now, maybe back in school assemblies or RE lessons at school, maybe you were told that parables were just nice, simple stories that Jesus told to make it easy for you to understand him. False. They're not. They're a pain in the neck, and deliberately so. The point is, unless you draw near to Jesus for clarity, for an explanation, it remains confusing. That's the point. And those who draw close to Jesus, who want to hear what he has to say, Jesus wants to reveal the secret of the kingdom of God to them. And the first thing we see in the passage today is that the good news about Jesus' kingdom is meant to be brought out into the open. So if we read the first bit again, verse 21, it says, "He said to them, 'Do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear.'" Now, when we jump in like this, Jesus' words seem a bit random. He seems to suddenly go off on one about lamps, and then something cryptic about hidden things meant to be revealed. It's just weird, isn't it? It doesn't make any sense. But what's helpful to remember, I think, And what's helpful to remember whenever we read the Bible, actually, is that things almost always make a bit more sense when we look at what was said just before and what was said immediately after. And we put it in its context and we ask, like, what's the wider question, the wider point being made here? Has Jesus mentioned any of this before? Especially things being hidden or secret. Well, actually, he has. Remember, he said in verse 11, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. So maybe he's talking about the same thing here. And then there's the bit about the lamp. He says, do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? Well, what's this lamp he's talking about? Now, if you look down in your Bibles, you'll see it says, do you bring in a lamp? Now, you may be interested to know that this part of the Bible was originally written in Greek. And in Greek, that sentence literally says, does a lamp come? Does a lamp come? That's quite an awkward sentence, isn't it? Does a lamp come to be put under a bowl or a bed? Now, you can understand, you can get it, why the Bible translators decided to word it another way. Because lamps don't come. You take a lamp and you put it somewhere. You know, you don't beckon to a lamp in your house and it kind of waddles over to you and jumps on the table and turns itself on. You know, lamps don't do that. At least mine don't. But Mark has deliberately chosen to quote Jesus as saying, does a lamp come? That's really interesting, isn't it? And when you consider that the Bible sometimes compares God's promised king to a bringer of light in a dark world, for example, when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, it starts to come together. Jesus is talking about himself. He and the message he brings are a lamp. Think about lamps for a minute. I've always loved those shops that sell lights and lamps. In light shops, electrical shops, the light section of B&Q, the lights are always on, aren't they? Lamps that sit on a table, fairy lights that kind of drape down the wall, uplighters that you put in the corner of the room. Now imagine you've got your chosen lamp and you go home and you turn it on and you put it under the bed and you have your dinner. Or imagine your partner or your housemate takes the lamp and turns it on and puts it under their biggest mixing bowl. Doesn't make any sense to do that. Lamps are meant to be seen. They're meant to be put in a prominent place so that they can light up the room. Lamps aren't meant to be hidden. And it's the same with Jesus and the message that he brings. Jesus wants people to hear and receive the good news that he brings. It's not meant to stay hidden. He wants people to draw close to him, to really hear what he has to say, and not just walk on by. He wants everyone to know the secret of the kingdom of God. Well, what is the secret? What is the good news? Let me tell you, that is the single best question that you can ask. The good news of the secret of the kingdom of God that Jesus brings is that the one who created the world, God, has appointed Jesus Christ to be his chosen king. This is what the whole of history has been building towards, the coming of God's chosen king. And it's amazing news because Jesus is the perfect king who's fair and just and kind and powerful and compassionate and selfless. Not only that, but to everyone who's lived their lives as rebels to the king, people like us who've been acting like there is no king, or worse, that we were the king. To everyone, Jesus offers complete forgiveness and a fresh start in his family, in his kingdom. To everyone who draws near to Jesus, does a U-turn in the road and asks Jesus for forgiveness, he will gladly forgive you and he'll welcome you with open arms because he loves you. And the reason that is possible is because Jesus' deliberate, self-sacrificing death on the cross made it possible. And Jesus the King is on his throne right now. And he'll come back one day to make the world new. Jesus wants you to know this today. The secret of the kingdom of God is for anyone who really wants to know. He loves you. He wants you. He wants you in his family, in his kingdom. If you're a Christian listening this morning, you've heard this and you believe this. Jesus didn't come into the world to be hidden. So Christian, don't you go keeping the good news of Jesus hidden in your life. It's nothing for us to be ashamed of because we bring good news, hope and light to the world around us. In the second half of the passage, we're shown, secondly, how you respond to Jesus matters. So consider carefully what you hear. The second half of our passage says, verse 24, consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. Again, this seems just as cryptic, doesn't it, at first glance? What's he talking about now? Well, he says, consider carefully what you hear. Now, Jesus hasn't moved on here. He hasn't changed the subject. He's still talking about the same thing. He's not just talking about hearing generally, but specifically what we hear him saying now. Consider carefully what I'm saying about the kingdom, Jesus says. And then he says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. What does that mean? It's like there's some sort of transaction going on here. Consider carefully what you hear. How you respond to Jesus corresponds directly with what you receive from Jesus. And verse 25 tells us what this looks like in practice. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. On first reading, verse 25 actually seems a little bit harsh, doesn't it? A bit unfair. Imagine a world where everyone who has something just gets more of that, and whoever doesn't have any, like even what they have, is taken from them. Sounds a bit harsh. Is verse 25 harsh? But remember, this is all about how you respond to the words of Jesus. It basically means, doesn't it, that the more you want to see of Jesus, the more you'll be shown. And the less you want to see of Jesus, the less you'll get. Those who hear the words of Jesus, who draw in close to him, who long to hear more, to have more of Jesus, to know him more, Jesus will share more and more of himself with them. And those are the people that Jesus is after. And it makes sense, sadly, that those who don't care about Jesus, who aren't willing to hear him out, those who stand on the outside but don't want anything to do with Jesus, they remain on the outside. And Jesus remains a mystery. And if they ever had a bit of interest in Jesus, a bit of affection for Jesus, even that is gone. Jesus came into the world so that the secret of the good news of his kingdom would be like a lamp on a stand. It's not meant to be hidden. It's for you. How we respond to Jesus really matters. And the challenge that he gives us is to consider very carefully what we hear. So do you want to hear what Jesus has to say or not? You get Christians in church, sadly, who straight after the sermon, you know, they have a word with the preacher saying that, oh, 20 minutes is really rather long for a sermon, don't you think? You get Christians who, sadly, when the conversation turns to reading the Bible or talking about their faith or their relationship with Jesus, they inwardly groan. Oh, they feel, oh, do we have to talk about that? It's a bit deep, isn't it? It's a bit spiritual. And so they make a joke and they change the subject. A couple of years ago, I visited Kathmandu and I met some remarkable people. I met men and women who walked for 12 hours and then took a bus ride for another 18 hours. Also, they could come and hear God's word, the Bible. They came all that way for the opportunity to hear from Jesus, to talk about Jesus, to delight in Jesus. And it's to them and to people like them that God gives the most joy, the most hope, the most delight, the most wisdom. Those people who draw near to Jesus, who long to hear what he has to say and are listening. Maybe you can think of people like that. And those people always look the most like Jesus, don't they? Andrew Corns puts it well. He says, the more you want to see of Jesus, the more you'll be shown. Like we were reminded last week, it's God the Holy Spirit who opens our eyes and our ears and our minds so that we can hear him and understand him. It's all his work. But we must draw near to him. Those who are cold towards Jesus will just find it harder and harder to understand him. If you don't want to hear, you won't hear. Thomas Jefferson was one of the founding fathers of the United States, and he went through the New Testament with a razor and cut out all the bits that Jesus said that he didn't like. It's like you and me going through with a Sharpie, with a big, fat, permanent marker and crossing out all the bits that Jesus said that we don't understand or we don't like. Now, if you stand on the outside, like Thomas Jefferson, only hearing what you want to hear, you will miss out on who Jesus really is and the good news that he brings. So don't have selective hearing when it comes to things that Jesus says. We need to consider very carefully how we listen to the words of Jesus, whether it's sermons or Bible studies or evangelistic evenings. We mustn't just critique. Equally, for Christians, sermons, Bible studies, evangelistic evenings, they're not a performance. They aren't for our entertainment. We mustn't be like Strictly Come Dancing judges, giving everything a score, you know, like Len Goodman used to do, like 7. We don't want to be entertained. We want to be trained. We must consider very carefully what we hear and ask the Holy Spirit to change us through it, to make us more and more God's image-bearing representatives that we were made to be. So the point is not just read your Bible more. The question is, are you listening carefully? Are you taking it on board? The more you want to see of Jesus, the more you'll be shown. Do you remember the story of Mary and Martha in the Bible? Jesus is at their house and Martha's running around. She's frantically making dinner, preparing everything. And Mary is just sitting on the floor, listening to Jesus, drinking it all in, hanging on to his every word. And Jesus says to them, look, there's only one thing that matters. There is only one thing that's important. And Mary's doing it, listening to the words of Jesus. the most important thing is listening to the words of Jesus. It's not an overstatement to say that there is nothing more important in this life than that you consider carefully, very carefully, what Jesus says about himself. Jesus didn't come into this world to be hidden. He's like a lamp on the stand, ready to reveal the secret of the kingdom of God to anyone and everyone who wants to know. He wants you to hear the good news that he brings. How you respond to Jesus' words really matters. So consider really carefully what he says. Hopefully our time together has thrown up some questions about Jesus and what he has to say.